Shalom, welcome to our class on the 3 weeks. Call it a detox from pleasure. So really we want to answer up a couple of, we'll give a big chiddush of why it's called Beinu Mitzarim, and also some explanation as the famous vort from a lot of the tzaddikim. It says Galsi Yehuda me'oini, that in the second pasuk in Eicha, that Yehuda was in Galus, Moveroida, we were like weak amongst the Goyim. We weren't able to rest in any way. And then this is the famous few words, Kol Rodfea Hisigua Beinu Matsarim. The basic way of reading it is all of your pursuers, they caught you Beinu Matsarim. They caught up with you and they grabbed you. But the way the tzaddikim read it, all of them read it, is like this: Kol Rodfeka, all of the ones who chase after Hashem, Hisiguhu Beinu Mitzarim. You will get him Beinu Mitzarim. Flip it on its head completely. Not that all of the ones who pursue you will catch up with you Beinu Mitzarim. It's the ones who chase after Hashem. In the Beinu Mitzarim, you will get him. You will catch him. Okay, and it's a very profound. It's very profound, and it is very readable in there. It's not such a push to understand it. So let's try and understand this. Okay, we make a bracha every morning. Bracha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, she'asali kol tzarki. That you made. I mean, it's very difficult to translate it. You made for me all my needs. That's the basic translation, is that he made for me all my needs. Now, the most basic way of reading it is that it means he has fulfilled all my needs. I'm not lacking. But that's a problem, because you wouldn't really say that just before you start davening. Like, you wouldn't make the statement that I don't need anything just as I'm about to daven, because he's given me everything that I need. So the way that people understand it is she'asali kol tzarki, that he made for me my needs, meaning I have needs and they were given to me by him. So this bracha is keneged your shoes. I don't know if you know, but when we go through the brachas in the morning, they all some of them for your clothes, there's one for your clothes, there's one for your ability to see, there's one for your belt, this one's for your shoes. And shoes throughout the whole Torah are a moshul for your goof. So when we say that you made for me my needs, see, our basic needs are things like eating, sleeping, drinking, breathing, etc. Yeah, we call them our needs, but in truth, they're not really our needs, because if we were to have created ourselves, well, I know if I was to have created myself, I would not have created myself with the need to eat, nor would I have created myself with the need to sleep, or even to breathe or drink. Why would you need any of these things? I would be much more effective in my role in this world if I didn't need to eat and sleep and drink. Much more effective. So they're not really my needs. We call them my needs, but they're really more like handicaps. They're really handicaps in a sense. I know that's a bit of a strong word, but I can't think of another word. But they're you think of a nicer word than handicap? You know what I mean? It's not quite the right word, but it means the thing what I mean.
Well, it necessarily ties us to this world.
Yeah, it's I mean, when I say handicap, I mean it in like the least like profound, but they really are handicaps. Yeah, they're handicaps. They are things that I'd rather not have to do, but I have to do them. Hashem put them on me. And the reason why it's connected, why this bracha is connected the shoes, is because the shoes throughout Torah, we said, are a moshul for the guf, for your body. So these things are a product of having a body. Like, my soul doesn't need to eat. My soul doesn't need to sleep. My soul needs to drink. My body needs these things. So this is an expression of the body, the limitations of the body. Yeah, it's a limitation. That's a better word than saying a. It's a limitation. I'm limited by the fact that I need to eat. I'm limited by the fact that I need to sleep, etc. What's the greatest limitation that we have? Can you think of something that really is the ultimate limitation? Sleeping isn't the ultimate limitation. Eating isn't the ultimate.
Probably death.
Yeah, but that's not something that we have to deal with on a day-to-day level, but I hear what you're saying. But what is it in our psyche, the ultimate thing that we're really limited by, which really limits us, which really compromises our effectiveness? I'll give you a clue. We ended up dealing with it. Thoughts, okay. Not really. They could be that could also be they could be empowering as well. The we ended up getting it by the Chet Eitz Hadas. So by Chet Eitz Hadas, originally the pasuk says Shnehem Arumim Ha'Adam Ve'Ishtoi. That we were naked together, Adam and his wife, and they were not embarrassed. There was no embarrassment. The greatest handicap that we have is our need for pleasure. If you think about everything that you do wrong in your life, everything that we do is always to do with our own pleasure. That's the greatest handicap. And that was what happened at Gan Eden. We weren't embarrassed by our private parts before the Chet Eitz Hadas. By the Chet Eitz Hadas, what happened, it wasn't that all of a sudden we just became embarrassed by our private parts. What happened was that Adam, it says that Or Chaim says it, the Sfarna says it, there's a bunch of tzaddikim who say it, that we started to experience our own pleasure. From that Ava, we started to experience our own pleasure. And that was the source of embarrassment. Not that we were embarrassed of the Ava, we were embarrassed of the fact that we were now experiencing our own independent pleasure. Before the Chet Eitz Hadas, we had no sense of independent pleasure. There was just Hashem's pleasure. After the Chet Eitz Hadas, now we inherited or not inherited, we took on what's the word for that? Whatever, we took on our own sense of independent pleasure. So Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am." He didn't really say that, yeah, but that's what he said. But the true statement that I understand it, the truest statement is, "I have pleasure, therefore I am." Meaning, what makes me separate from Hashem is my need for pleasure. Pleasure is an end unto itself. Like, why do you like pleasure? Why does everyone like pleasure? Your pleasure might differ. You might have pl this pleasure, he might have that pleasure, she might have this pleasure. But why do you want pleasure? Why do you like pleasure? It's good that you look like that, Daniel, because the answer is there is no reason why you like pleasure. That's
Right,
just.
we talk about all the time. Why does one person like chocolate and one person likes vanilla? That's what we talk about. Rutzon, you have a
That's
better terminology of it.
already within pleasure. That's different types of pleasure. But we're asking a more fundamental question. Pleasure itself, not the pleasure of ice cream, because some people don't like ice cream. Some people like herring. Yeah? Some people like ice cream. But people like liking. That's what we're talking about. Whatever your pleasure is, that's a different thing. That's already of this world. But why do we like pleasure? And that is the root of your soul, of your human soul. That is just like the sun shines, and you can't say to the sun, "Why do you shine?" He's just like, "I'm the sun, I shine." Why do you want pleasure? Why do you like pleasure? You're like, I'm a human being. That's what I do. That's what I am. That's what it's all about. That's what drives me. That's everything. And that was what we brought on at the Chet Eitz Hadas. The Chet Eitz Hadass, we took on our own independent sense of pleasure. And from then on, it was, well, it really wasn't like a bad thing because that is what we're here to fix. We're here to fix that sense of pleasure. That's what our avoider in this world is. I know we start to feel a little tense when we hear this, but this is really our avoider in this world, is elevating our pleasure back to Hashem. So the Tanya gives a couple of examples. He says that Rava used to drink spiced wine and like fatty meat to be marchiv datoy, to like expand his mind so he could learn Torah. Yeah, that's one way of elevating pleasure. Then the most obvious way of elevating pleasure is saving it for Shabbos. Eat nice foods, you know, we're with our spouses, etc. Have a little, so have some extra sleep, etc. Yeah, read what you want to read. Read things that give you time, etc. That's a very, very efficient way of being mali your pleasure. That's the easiest way of raising up your pleasure. Otherwise, pleasure generally takes us down. Generally takes us down, unless, like we said, we're using it to expand our mind or whatever. But usually, that's not how it is. Usually, we're pursuing pleasure for the sake of pleasure, and that's really the opposite of what we're here to do. So, I want to just bring a couple of Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Brochus. I'll read the Gemara because it's not really relevant. But it's just everyone knows a Gemara and it's very beautiful. And we'll just sit inside and just hear the words of the Tzaddikim. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. B'sha'a sh'ala Moshe l'maroim, when the time that Moshe went up to into the Shemayim, Matzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu sh'yoshev v'koshe k'sarim or k'srim Lo'isius. He found Hashem, it's a Gemara in Brochus. He found Hashem tying on the crowns on the letters. Yeah. I want to find a Rabbi Shloilem. What are you doing this for? There's going to be a guy who comes along at the end of many generations, but Akiva ben Yosef Shemoi. Rabbi Akiva is his name. You've heard the Gemara, yeah? He's gonna Doresh, he's gonna what's it, expound on these little crowns on top of the letters like you see in the Sefer Torah. He's gonna expound from them mounds and mounds of halachas. He's gonna learn loads of stuff from them. So Amar Lefanav, Rabbeinu Shlom says Moshe back to Hashem, Rabbeinu Shlom, Hahu li? He says, "Show him to me. Let me see." So he says, "Okay, fine. You go to the back of the class, yeah." So he whisks him through to the yeshiva where Rabbi Akiva's teaching, and he sends him to the back of the class to the eighth row at the back, whatever that means. He didn't understand what they were saying. Moshe's sitting there in a class that Rabbi Akiva's giving. He's in the eighth row at the back, and it's going over his head. It's going over Moshe's head. Tashash Koichoi, he lost his energy. He's like, I don't know what to do here. Kemishigir Adav Echad, Amuloi Talmidov. So when they got to a certain inyan, one of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim said to him, Rabbi, Minayin Lacha Amulehen Halacha. How do you know all this? Where are you learning this from? Amar Lehen says Rabbi Akiva said to the Talmidim, Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. It's Halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. We learned this from Moshe Rabbeinu. And it says, Nisyashva Datoyin. And Moshe was calmed. Okay. I didn't really need to bring that, but I just think it's just such a beautiful, it's just so beautiful. V'chazuba, now we miss a few word lines, and now we're getting to what we wanted to speak about. He came back and he said to Hashem, you have a mensch like this, and you gave the Torah through me. The animus of Moshe says, you have a mensch like Rabbi Akiva, why are you giving the Torah through me? Give it through Rabbi Akiva. Amaloi shtoik, he says to him, shut up, silence. Kach ala b'machshava lefanai. This is what went up in my mind. Amar Lefanav, he says back to him, Rabbeinu Shloilem, you showed me your Torah. Hareini show me the scar. Amaloi, chazla achoreha. He says to him, turn back wherever he went back. Ra'ah, and he saw, this is a little difficult to hear. Bisroi Bamakulin. They were weighing out his flesh, his flesh on scales. That's what they're doing to Rabbi Akiva. This is Torah, and this is its schar. You remember the story of Rabbi Akiva? We'll read it in a minute. This is what we're going to read next. Amalo shtoik, silence. Kach ala b'machshava. This is what went up in my mind. So I want to explain that when he says shtoik, the Rabbi Shalom says shtoik, he wasn't telling him for time. He was giving him the answer to his question. The answer to Moshe's question, this is your Torah and this is the schar. The answer is shtoik, silence. That's the answer. So let's read. I'm going to read another Gemara. Okay, this is also another beautiful Gemara that we don't need to read the whole thing, but it's just so beautiful that why not? Again, it's a Gemara that you've heard, and this is very shaykh to what's going on right now. Tan Rabbanan, Pam Achas Gaza Malchus Arasha. One time, it means Rome, the evil kingdom, made a decree. So Yasku Yisrael b'Torah. Yisrael are not allowed to be Oisek in Torah. But Pappas ben Yehuda, a guy called Pappas ben Yehuda, came. He was gathering, he was making gatherings in the public places, and he was teaching the Chevra Torah. Amaloi, he says to him, but Pappas ben Yehuda says, Amaloi, Akiva. He says, you're not scared of the Malchus. Amaloi says back to him, I'm going to give you a moshul. Lama davadoime, to what the thing is similar. There's a fox. He's walking, you know the Gemara, yeah? There's a fox walking at the side of the river. Vorot dogim, he sees the fish. Shalom is kabatsim and makom lemakom. And they're in little like groups and they're going from place to place. Amalehem says the fox to the fish. Why are you fleeing around? Why are you running around? Amuloi, they said back to him, because men are bringing nets and they're trying to catch us. Amalehem says the fox to the fish. Come up onto the dry land. You have another ami vatem, and me and you are going to live together. Just like my ancestors lived with your ancestors. Maybe that's a remez to like evolution. I don't know. Anyway, Amuloi, the fish said back to him, "Your men would be the genius of all the animals. Like pekechata, tipeshata. You're not a pekech. You're an idiot. You're a fool." Yeah, Baba Malcolm Husainu, Anna Miss Yaren. If it's a Kalvachoma, if in a place where is our life, i.e., the water, we're fearful, but Malcolm is Husainu in a place of our death being the dry land, our Achas come overcome, how much more so? Afanachnu says Rabbi Akiva, and now even we are going to be sitting here being Oisek B'Torah. Shekasev Ba, that is written in the Torah, Kihu chayecha v'orech yemecha. This is your life and the length of your days. Kach im anu holchim mevatlim al achas kama v'kama. If we let go of the Torah, you think that it's going to be better for us? Chas v'shalom. Now we skip a few lines and it goes on. B'sha'a shehitziu es Rebbe Akiva lahariga. When they were taking him out for his death, yeah? Zman Kriya Shema Hai. It was the time of Kriya Shema. Vahu es Bisroi b'mas kois bazel. They were scraping away his flesh with his skin with combs of iron. Vahu makabla lav oil malchus shemayim. And he was makabla while they were doing that. He was makabla oil malchus shemayim. Amru lo tamidav. His Talmidim said to him, Rabbeinu, Adkan, enough. Amalehem, Kol Yamai, Hayisi Mitzah El Pasuk Zeh. I was always Mitzah, I always had Tsar over this Pasuk, B'chol Nafshecha. Because I understood it to mean, Afilu Noiteles Nishmascha. I understood it to mean that even if they take your soul, as in you have to die for Hashem. Amati, Masayavo liyadi dikaimenu. When is it going to come to my hand that I'll be able to mekayim this? The Achshav Shabali Yadi, and now that it comes to my hand, loy akimanu, I'm not going to be mekayim it. He dragged out the word echad. He dragged out the echad. Ad shiyatzin nishmasui be'echad, until his neshama left him at echad. Yotzasa basko v'amra ashrecha Rabbi Akiva yotzin nishmascha be'echad. The basko came out and said, ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, that your neshama left on the word echad. Wow. So I've forgotten the whole Torah that I wanted to give over now. It's just enough to read that. You don't have to add anything to that. You can't add anything to that. Okay, yeah, back to so we were saying that our greatest handicap is our pleasure, yeah? So Rabbi Akiva gave his neshama to the Rabbeinu Shlomo, yeah? What is the inyan of Mesiras Nefesh? So by Goyishi at Mesiras Nefesh, the inyan is it's a cheshbon that you make. A person makes a cheshbon. He's more connected to his ideology than he is to his body. His ideology is more real to him than his physical body. So he will give up his life to further his cause. Yeah, that's the highest level a human being can attain. If he has a holy cause and his cause is more real to him than his life, and he gives up his life for that cause, that's the holiest, that's the highest, not called holy, that's the highest level a human being can attain. And that's b'chol nafshecha. See, we say, b'chol levavecha, that means with all your emotions, let's say. That means with all of your soul. If like Rabbi Akiva just said, if it means he's going to take my soul. And then it says mo'idecha. So mo'idecha is the inyan of Jewish mesiras nefesh. A human being can get to where you make a cheshbon. It's a cheshbon. You use your intellect to weigh up the weigh up the you weigh up the how'd you say that?
Priorities.
Sorry?
Priorities.
You weigh up your priorities, you weigh up the sides, however you'd say that, you weigh up the two sides, and you come to the conclusion that it makes more sense that you should give up your life than not give up your life. That's a very human thing to do. Human beings have been doing that for years, since the beginning of time, we've been doing that. But that isn't what Jewish Mesiras Nefesh is. Jewish Mesiras Nefesh, we could speak about this for a long time, but I don't. We're just trying to just to give the idea, is that Jewish Mesiras Nefesh is a almost like a compulsion of the soul, where it's not about your ideology. And that's why the Alter Rebbe in the Tanya gives the example of a secular Jew giving up his life. When someone comes and puts a gun to his head and says to him, "Your God or your life," he could be a secular Jew, and he would say, the Rebbe says that the majority of secular Jews would say, in their head, they would be thinking, "I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't care about God or mitzvahs or Torah. But there's just I'm compelled to give up my life." That's real Mesiras Nefesh, meaning you're not furthering your cause in any way. It isn't your cause. See, now the reason why the Rebbe gives the secular Jew as opposed to the Talmud Chacham is because the Talmud Chacham and the Tzaddik, he's living his life for God. So when the person comes and puts the gun to his head and says, "Now give up your life," the Tzaddik could you might think that the tzaddik would turn around and say, "Well, listen, this is crazy. I mean, look, if I give up my Yiddishkeit, then what have I got left? Doesn't make any sense. I'll give up my life. Just like human beings in the past have given up their life for their ideologies. A tzaddik could also, you could also think he was giving up his life for his ideology. But really, what he's giving up, b'chol mo'eder, is he's giving up his ideology, meaning he's giving up his sense of self, his ultimate sense of self, which is only possible by Yisrael, because they have a neshama that is, they have also a neshama, meaning they can give up their human element because that isn't the end, that isn't where they end. They can give up their human element because they have a neshama that begins where that human element ends. Now, the end of the human element is pleasure. So when we say that a guy, a human being, will give up his life for his ideology, that's another way of saying that that's his pleasure. At this junction, when the guy's putting a gun to his head and says, either your freedom or your life, either your religion or your life, either your money or your life, this guy makes a cheshbon and realizes that the greater pleasure would be in giving up his life. He can't go beyond that because that's the end. That's where he ends. His pleasure is the end of the road. The reason why Yisrael can give up his pleasure is because there's a being above that called the neshama that can give up the pleasure, the human pleasure. You with me? Is this making a bit of sense?
It's a very small distinction. I'm trying to get it.
Meaning that when it's really it's an ultimate distinction, meaning that the Jewish Mesiras Nefesh means that you're giving up your life, but it doesn't make sense. And it's proven by the secular Jew who gives up his life for his Yiddishkeit. The Jew who doesn't live by Torah and mitzvahs will still, in the majority of cases, give up his life for God. And that doesn't make any sense. A non-practicing Catholic would not give up their life for Yoshki or for Catholicism. What's the connection? Why would I give up my life for an ideology that isn't mine? Like somebody puts a gun to your head and says, it says, if you don't denounce Islam, I'll kill you. What would you do? You're denouncing
Me.
Islam. Like, what's it got to do with you? What's it got? It's got nothing. I don't care. It's nothing. Okay, I denounce Islam. Fine. But it wouldn't make any sense if that's really like with a secular Jew. If a God, he might even be an atheist. And this is what the Rebbe says. It's that you might say, well, I don't know if that would happen. The Rebbe explains that that's by the majority of Jews, and it's happened countless times in the past. Secular Jews have had a gun put to their head and have taken the bullet, and they didn't even know why they were even in their mind, they were saying, this doesn't make any sense. Why can't you bow to the idol? Why can't you give up your life?
So you're saying they don't make a cheshbon, they just basically have this innate connection to God because we have a neshama, and that's why they're doing it.
Exactly. It goes beyond cheshbon. The cheshbon is the intellect. That's to do with the human. It goes beyond the cheshbon. Yeah, go on.
Was gonna say, but if that's the case, then it's almost, I hate to say this, but it's almost less because someone who's a non-Jew or someone who's practicing makes the cheshbon, they've thought about it, and there's been some back and forth in their mind, at least, what should I do, what should I not do? And then they come to this decision, this determination, this
Yes.
is what the right thing to do is. So they should get a lot of credit for that,
Yeah.
having weighed everything and made the right decision. Here you're saying that a person's going to get rewarded and reach this highest level for something that they don't even understand what they did.
Didn't say rewarded, but don't forget we have the mitzvah of a kol nafshecha as well. And this is what Rebbe, exactly what you're saying, exactly the point. The b'chol mo'edecha, the Rebbe says in Tanya, it's literally al kochoi. It's like you can't not do it. That's just who you are. You're Jewish. You're connected to God with a that's how he made you. The kol nafshecha is you also make the cheshbon. And that's what Rabbi Akiva did. Rabbi Akiva said, I've been waiting my whole life. He said, B'chol nafshecha, not B'chol moedecha. That's not a kuntz. I'm Jewish. B'chol moedecha, that's a vadai. That's just because I'm Jewish. The bit that I've got shlita over, the bit that I've got control over, that's the b'chol nafshecha. That's the giving up of my that's the giving up of my body, of my soul, but not of my ideology, not of my pleasure. But the Jew can give up his pleasure as well. So hold on now, because the B'chol nafshecha is gematria. I don't usually bring gematrias, but this is very profound. B'chol nafshecha is gematria bisroi, his flesh. Means giving up your goof. Okay, what do you think gematria b'chol moedecha is? Oineg. Gematria oineg, pleasure. B'chol moedecha is pleasure. The only reason why a Jew can give up his ideology is because there's a chelek elokai mimal above him that allows him to give up his ideology. A human being stops at his pleasure. Now that, let's get back to now. Let's tie it together now. That is the most limiting factor that a human being has, is pleasure. If we could get rid of our need for pleasure, could you imagine what we could do? Anything you want, you could do. You might not want something, but if you could get rid of your need for pleasure, you would end up being a tzaddik. You would be a tzaddik. If you didn't have that vying my own personal pleasure and all that was real to you is Hashem's pleasure, that's called a tzaddik. You understand? So now listen to this. This will put the Bein HaMitzrayim in a whole different perspective. Well, let's just add two quick little points. Bein HaMitzrayim begins by Yud Zayin Tammuz, yeah? 17th of Tammuz, and it ends on the 9th of Av. Yud Zayin Tammuz was the Chet HaEgel, yeah?
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
That was the day we were even the Chet HaEgel. And Tisha B'Av was the Chet HaMeraglim. Now, the inyan of the Chet HaEgel was, we were, if you read the Rashi over there, Rashi says that it was really to give us permission to be immoral. It was all about immorality. That was what it says, L'chsacheik, the Pasuk says L'chsacheik, and it was all about allowing us to get involved in a riot. Yeah, that was the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaMeraglim, the tzaddikim say, was that we were living in the desert. Yeah, we had shir, we had, you know, Daf Yomi. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Daf Yomi. Aharon HaKohen was giving Chassidus. We had, you know, Pinchas giving halachas. We were mamash. We were completely. We were complete. It was unbelievable. Yeah, the clothes were growing with us. They were getting cleaned with us. We had food falling from Shemayim. It was mamash the tachlis of ruchnius pleasure. And that was the reason why the Meraglim didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They were like, we've got it so good. Why do I want to go into Eretz Yisrael and start tilling the land and dealing with all the behaviors and the chayas and all these mitzvahs, all these artsy dicker mitzvahs? Leave me alone in the desert with my Rebbe and with all the ruchnius pleasure, with all the tefillah, with all the v'chule, yeah? So it was a din on ruchnius pleasure. So the Chet HaEgel was about physical pleasure. The Chet HaMeraglim was about ruchnius pleasure. It's about pleasure. So now we start Yud Zayin B'Tammuz with a tinus, and then we stop listening to music, we stop cutting our hair, etc., etc. Yeah, we start being memayit our tanugim. Then we get to Rosh Chodesh Av. Now we don't wash our clothes. We start, if we need to wash, we wash with cold water. Okay, we don't eat meat or wine, etc. And then there's even more things by the week that Rosh Chodesh falls, that Tisha B'Av falls in. And then Tisha B'Av itself is we let go of all pleasures. There's no eating. We sit on the floor. There's There's we're not even allowed to learn Torah. We're not even allowed Torah that gives not even allowed to learn Torah that gives us pleasure. We don't put on tefillin, etc., etc. Yeah. So we really cut out pleasure lagamrei. But really, that is exactly the tool that we need to use in this time. The mitzarim, yeah. We talked about limitation. The pleasure is the ultimate limitation. So how do you say limitation in Hebrew? Meitzah. Bein ha-meitzarim means that space of time between the meitzarim. The meitzarim are the pleasures that we're involved in. So there's a little gap in those pleasures. That's called the 3 weeks, where we actually let go of the pleasures of the world. And that's a chofesh from the Mitzarim. So Bein HaMitzarim means that little period of time from Yud Zayin Tammuz until Tisha B'Av, where you let go of all of the pleasures. And that's exactly why the pasuk says, Kol Rodfeh Yisiguhu Bein HaMitzarim, that everyone who chases after Hashem in the Bein HaMitzarim, because you're letting go of your own personal pleasures. Yeah, you're able to actually catch them. Oh, Daniel, you missed the
I'm so sorry, my phone died. I had to come back.
punchline.
Some bad timing, really bad timing.
Maybe I'll say it a little bit clearer this time. The Bein HaMitzarim, you're welcome. The Bein HaMitzarim means the Meitzarim means the limitations. The pleasure of this world is the limitations. The 3 weeks that we have are letting go of the pleasures of this world. We stop listening to music, we stop cutting our hair, yeah? Then it comes today. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Av. We stop washing ourselves in hot water. We stop wearing new clothes. We don't eat meat. We don't drink wine. We cut out all of the physical pleasures. Then we get to Tisha B'Av, where we even let go of the spiritual pleasures. You're not allowed to learn Torah. You're not allowed to put on tefillin until later on, etc. Yeah, on Tisha B'Av itself, we go beyond Oineg, but that's Bein HaMitzarim, meaning the Mitzarim, the limitations, end at Yud Zayin. End at Yud Zayin Tammuz, and they begin again on the 10th of Av. So this Bein HaMitzarim is this little kind of holiday period that we have from our Tainug. That's what this period is. It's a little break from your most limiting factor, which is your need for pleasure. It's a completely different reality. It's a completely different way of understanding this period of time. That this is mamash a break for us. We don't have the responsibility now of lifting up time. We do the rest of the year. You're let go, you can let go of Tainug. You don't have to do it. And Tisha B'Av's the highest day of the year. There's no Tainug. You go beyond even Ruchnius Tainug. You can sit there for the beginning of Tisha B'Av, sit there on the floor, get away from. Not even be the king of half an hour, just be silent, just sit there and realize that you do exist without Tainug. You can exist without Tainug. And that's exactly why we can that's why during this period of time it's the easiest to catch Hashem, to get him. Why? Because the rest of the year we're working for him, we're elevating the Tainugim to Hashem. But this time of the year, we can actually be with Hashem mamash. Away from our avoider of being ma'al at the Tainug and actually sit with him. It's not for the whole year, Bichlal. It's just a very specific time for right now. And I'm just going to finish up a Mishnah that I've been quoting for the past few weeks that I just, this is the whole story. And it's important to know that this isn't like, it's like, oh, how can I let go of my Tainug and what would I, it's pasha, it's chayrus. It's freedom. So the Mishnah says, "Kachi darka shel Torah." This is the way of Torah. Yeah, you remember the Mishnah, and it's giving us a progression. Pas b'melech toichu. Yeah, bread and salt you can eat. Salt is the tainug. Okay, but don't even in the year. Don't get too involved in tainugim. That's not what it. Just be memai at the time. Paspa Melech Toichu. Now, the next level is Mayim B'Mesu'a Tishteh. Once you've gotten over, once you've managed to get your pleasures in check, now start cutting down to the bare minimum of everything. And that the Ramchal speaks about this countless times throughout Masir Shasharim, the idea of just taking from this world just what you need and nothing more. And it's an amazing, I say this to a lot of people, is the idea of just using one paper towel. Just try this. It's so easy. You've heard me say this, yeah? Just,
Yeah, I tried it this week.
it's mamash a holy thing. It's a holy avoider. And you can start putting that into different areas of your life. Yeah, just using the minimum of this world, it makes you get things in perspective and it makes you start being much more grateful. And it really is a very, very, very good avoidance. It's very easy to do. Okay. And then if you can do that, why can't people sleep on the floor? Because it's not comfortable. But once you get to this level, once you get to this level, yeah, now you stop caring about your comfort. Your comfort stops becoming such an issue to you. Someone says to you, "Is it hot or cold?" You're like, I didn't really think about that. I suppose it's hot. It's like you stop talking about the weather. You stop talking about how comfortable the couch is or how nice the leather in the car is. It stops becoming important to you. And if you get to that madrega, then the next madrega follows. V'chai ta tsa tichya. Not that you should live a life of tsa, but if Hashem so decrees that you need to live a life of tsa, you will be able to live that life. Not like most people get eaten up and destroyed by that life and become a victim of that life. You'll be able to live that life. That's Chayei Tzartiyah. Not that you should live a life of tsar, but if it has to be that way, and hopefully it won't be that way, you will be okay. You'll be able to live it. And if that's the case, the Torah Ata Omel, now you can be involved. That's Torah Lishma. And now just to finish off, and this is the whole point. Im Ata Oysa Kein, if you do this, and this is really the thing, Ashrecha V'Tov Lach. Ashrecha Bo'olam Hazeh V'Tov Lach Le'olam Haba. It's not that you lose this world. It's this world becomes the ultimate thing as well. Because the ultimate limitation is your need for pleasure. So if you can raise yourself above that, b'siyata d'shmaya, and get out of this need for pleasure, this world becomes gewaldig. Not just that you get the next world. It's that you stop being a prisoner to yourself. You've been released from that cage that you've been living in for the past 40 years called Tainug, and now Ashrecha. That's this world. So it's not that you're living a life of like this, this mono, what's it called? A mon, like a monk in a monastery, like piercing your skin and whatever. No, you just become freed from caring about your own pleasure and you can start thinking about other people's pleasure. Imagine that. Imagine that if all you cared about was other people's pleasure. Your own pleasure just wasn't part of the equation. Imagine the freedom. And then imagine if you from there were able to extrapolate to Hashem's pleasure. And then all that mattered to you was his pleasure. That's called going back to Gan Eden. And that's the tikkun, that's the tikkun of this time. That's why Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. And I'm sure also the Binyan, the Beis HaMikdash will also be rebuilt on Tisha B'Av. And it's going to be the highest of the Ma'adim. It's going to be Mamash, the highest of the Ma'adim, because it's the time when we Mamash go back to him at Mamash, where he becomes real. And the way we do that is by releasing ourselves from this prison that we call Tainugi, my own Tainu. Zvat Hashem, Zoicha, Zvat Hashem.
Amazing. Thank you, Rabbi. Sorry again for
Again,
cutting out the punchline.
it was good. It helped me. Thank you. Okay, so have a good Chodesh, and it should be a good month for all the Yidden and all the. By the way, we have nothing to worry about whatsoever. Stuff going on in the world right now. We have absolutely nothing to worry about whatsoever. The Bon Shalom loves us with an Ahava Atzuma Ma'od Ma'od. That's gonna mamash. You're gonna see. It's we it's Givaldic. It's Vat Hashem. Nothing at all to worry about. Okay, sorry, cousin.
I'm in. I'm in.